Welcome back to Protagonists of Change. I'm Darnell Miller, producer at Max Studios here at the University of St. Thomas in Houston, Texas, here today with Nicole Labadie, Director of Campus Ministry, and Max Linville, Max Studio Correspondent. We have a great show for you today. Today, we're talking about self-awareness and how that is our first step in growth in life and in faith. For one, I share how my wife helps me to live out Proverbs 27, you know the verse, as iron sharpens iron. And in part two, we have a special interview. Bridget Richardson, a producer at Max Studios, interviews Leah Darrow, a former supermodel turned Catholic speaker who was a guest on another of our podcasts, Agape and Eros. If you haven't heard it, check it out. They dive in deep and discuss the importance of self-awareness in dating, life, and faith. Growing up, I'd go through this phase every 2 or 3 months. I'd feel the sense of emotional exhaustion and have an intense desire to be alone. I'd spend the entire weekend in my bedroom, listening to music, reading, and just thinking about things. My mother would check in on me, ask how I was doing. Fine, I'd say. And she would say, okay, and leave me be. And that's it. I wasn't sad or upset or angry. I was just fine. I just wanted to be. This habit stayed with me throughout college. Every few months, I'd stock up on pizza rolls, root beer, and other snacks, and spend the weekend in my room to just be. People assumed I went home for the weekend. This pattern continued past graduation and into my marriage. I just assumed it was a part of who I was. It was something that happened periodically, and then it passed. It wasn't until my wife asked about it that I started to think about why I did it. See, when you're married and you suddenly push everything away to be alone, that causes concern with your spouse. My wife thought it was something that she did and didn't understand why I would just close off. So my wife, being the persistent woman she is, asked questions, mostly as a means for her to better understand what was happening. But those questions got me to finally think about what was going on too. So let's jump back a bit for more context. I'm one of three kids, grew up with a huge extended family that I saw weekly, if not more frequently, and was active in sports at a school with well over 2,000 students. I'm also an INFP. For those who don't know what that means, it's Myers-Briggs personality speak for introverted, intuitive, feeling, and perceiving, the ways in which I process information about the world around me. The first letter, the I, is the most important for this narrative. I'm an introvert, meaning that I draw energy from being alone. That means that when I'm not alone, which was frequently the case, I was losing energy. So back to my wife. Through all her questioning and gentle prodding, I came to the realization that my retreats into self-isolation were driven by the need to re-energize myself. It was a response to the energy I expended being social, hanging out with friends, and talking to people at work. All that drained me. And that's how I filled myself back up. Now, all of you who are like, good job, you figured it out. This is where the hard part begins. My wife said something to me that in the moment felt like an attack. She said, well, now that you know what it is, do you think it's healthy? I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. So she added, what am I supposed to do when you're like that? What are you going to do when you have kids? Just disappear for a few days? You need to take better care of yourself. In the moment, I was fuming. Of course I was going to take care of her kids. How dare she suggest otherwise? But the longer I sat with her words, the more my anger shifted away from her and towards myself, because I knew she was right. I needed to take better care of myself so I could take care of her and eventually our kids. And so I'm trying. My wife sat down with me to figure out a schedule of intentional times to re-energize myself. She's a big fan of scheduling. A skill that I'm not great at and therefore try to avoid. But with her help and patience, I've begun to carve out a space to do the things that re-energize me with the hopes that if I take a few intentional, scheduled hours each week, I won't need to self-isolate for a weekend every few months. And now, our life is enviably perfect. Okay, it's not, but it is better. I'd be a liar if I told you that I still don't struggle with the scheduling, with overworking, with not taking the time to take care of myself during the week. But I'm so blessed to have an amazing wife who helps me to live out Proverbs 27 verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So with that, I leave you with, find your other pieces of iron. People to help sharpen you and whom you will help to sharpen too. They will make you aware of so many ways you need to grow.
I loved the first part that I loved, like when you said it, I said, yes, like this is what I feel like young adults need to hear, was when you talked about self-awareness and sin and how, you know, people just think I'm sinful or these are my sins and that's being self-aware. So how would you coach young people to seek that conversion rather than just say, these are my sins and here's where, this is what I need to work on?
Yeah, I think trying to figure out in every situation of our life, like who is God wanting me to be in this moment versus what should I do in this moment? And that helps us with self-awareness. When we realize that life is happening for you, it's not happening to you. And that's a choice. That's a choice that you can choose to believe. You can choose to believe life is happening to you. If you choose that belief system, you choose a victim mentality, because if something's happening to you and you're not an active player in that life, then everything is going to be a bombardment, right? Versus life is happening for you means that we're an active player. And God, the creator of the universe, of life itself, has allowed us to work in this time and in this space for our good and for the good of the kingdom. So in every situation in our life that we come across, and when it comes to self-awareness, we can really ask ourselves, who does God want me to be in this moment? You know, like, what does God want to teach me in this moment? And that helps with self-awareness. So, I mean, the smallest things, when you are getting ready to go into a family dinner or hanging out with a group of people for whatever it might be, you can ask yourself before that, like, okay, so I'm going to be around these people. What is God wanting to teach me? Who does God want me to be in this moment to show up? That leads us into deep self-awareness just right off the bat right there. But then also just spending time thinking about the uncomfortable parts of our life. Like I said, not just sin, but being self-aware of our space in this world and who God's called us to be.
Yeah. And I think for young adults, there's like this fine line almost when you're doing that, right? Like, how do you counsel people to be self-aware, but not let that drift into self-absorption and make it all about you and your experience, right? Because I feel like this is sort of where, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, it's kind of a hairy area where you might dip into that self-absorption area, especially in relationships or when you're trying to find a spouse or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So self-awareness should always lead to service. That's what keeps us anchored in Christ versus anchored in ourself, is that self-awareness will always lead to service. The self-awareness that Christ Jesus had about who he is and what he was led him to service, which was the cross, which was the resurrection. This is the call of our life. So self-awareness should always be going towards service, should be going towards mission with Christ.
And what could that look like lived out in a relationship? You know, I loved when you talked about the categories as well, like with your mom or your dad, make sure to separate those out, siblings, you know, dating relationships, your spouse. What could that service aspect look like within your self-awareness, and how can you sort of not adapt yourself in those relationships once you've examined them, but maybe see how you can be a co-creator in that and making it a better situation?
Yeah. So I talked about, like, there's definitely some categories that we can all look at to go deeper in self-awareness that are really important, and they're pretty universal. So there's that. You really can't skip one or the other to kind of like make it whole. I mean, though we'd like to, but when we do that, when we take those different arenas, right, and those different relationships and areas of our life, and we look deeper into those, service can be played out in realizing sometimes, like, for instance, some of those arenas or areas that we look into, there may be there may be a need for healing, or there may be a need for us to rethink what we were taught, or whatever it might be. So a lot of times we live out of our wounds, right? And so say that there's a particular wound, one of those arenas that you looked at, and through that self-awareness, you realized, wow, that really affects me more than I think. So living out in service, like how do you take that self-awareness to move it to mission, to move it to service, is really, it starts in your mind. It starts with being able to say to yourself and rewire the process in your brain of what you want and what's the most positive healing thing that you can do and say to yourself to make the change in that process of service and mission. So, you know, whatever it might be, whatever wound that is, our brain, our mind is so incredibly powerful. And when we live out of our wounds, we are living out of a reactionary state. Mm-hmm. And so with that self-awareness of realizing what those wounds are and the effects of what that is, and you kind of get down to the nitty gritty and you see that lie that was at the source of that wound. And then you're going to find the truth. You're going to find the counter statement rooted in scripture that is true. And you start saying that to yourself. I know this might sound crazy, but how we speak to ourselves and what goes on inside of our mind of what we say to ourselves inside of our mind matters. And that ends up really guiding our thoughts and ends up guiding our actions. So if you want to move forward with self-awareness towards service and a mission with Christ, it's really being able to take a look at our minds. I mean, Romans 12:2 says that we are called to a renewal of our minds. God knows very well that our minds are powerful. And so the self-awareness a lot can be resolved if we look at what are some of the lies that we've been working out of and the wounds attached to those lies.
Yeah. And when you're dating, looking at your wounds, you know, you hope that the person that you're dating or pursuing is on the same level, right? And they might not be, you know, they might be at different places. And I know you had mentioned you and Ricky had already done a lot of work individually. So when you came together, it was more like of a growth for both of you. So how would you talk to a young adult who they feel like they're doing really good work, but, you know, maybe they're meeting people that just are not there, or they're not even interested in doing that self-awareness work?
Yeah. So if, for instance, let's just take this extreme example. Well, maybe it's not extreme, unfortunately, but if you are out there and you're dating and you end up just being attracted to people, or find yourself talking with people who don't that level of self-awareness and who have no interest maybe in doing that work or just unsure. For me, if I was your older sister telling you, like, if you were asking me coming into my room, like, Leah, this is what's happened, I would say, I think you just need to keep on going. Because I tell you something, being with someone who's not self-aware, if they cannot be aware of what's going on within them and who they are in this space of this world, them with you is not a good combination. So I think you really do want to look, for somebody who is going to be willing to do the work of being self-aware. It doesn't mean they've reached this nirvana place. Like, that's just silly. We don't believe that, right? Nothing's perfect this side of heaven. But if they're willing to work, if they're willing to seek truth and seek Christ, that is so incredibly important. And that's the call of conversion. Pope Benedict XVI, he defined conversion with seeking the truth over yourself. And so that is what we're called to. That's self-awareness, my friends. Self-awareness, it's really conversion. It's just a fun way to say it. It's really conversion, but it's really becoming self-aware, converting ourselves over to truth over ourselves, and then being, you know, in mission with the Lord. I mean, this is the path of the church. It's the path of the Christian. It's what we're called to do.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And then my final question for you is, you know, you've been married 9 years, and so I bet you meet a lot of, you know, newlyweds, or maybe even some people who may be preparing for marriage. And I think when I first got married, the thing that I was surprised about is that I was self-aware already, but my husband added this whole nother level of me seeing myself through his eyes and him making me aware of things I had no idea I did. So how would you talk to newlyweds and young couples about that journey of, okay, you think you know, but in a way you have no idea what's about to come. So just be ready.
It's true. Marriage is like explaining a sailboat to somebody who doesn't know what water is.
So good.
It's like, great, you got a boat. Like, okay, yeah. Like, and I mean, you know what marriage is. We see marriage in other people, and then you get married and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, you didn't tell me. I didn't know this. And crazy thoughts keep happening. So the best advice I can give, at least today, would be this. Try to control your reactionary response. So it is typical of our passions, right? We have our intellect, we have our will, we have these passions, right? Our intellect is our thinking. It's our ability to think, right? Our will is our decision-making. We make the decision with our will. Our passions, keep in mind, are all those emotions, right? A whole bunch of other things. They're the accessories. They're the accessories. Do not live your life out of the passions, because then you live a reactionary life where you're reacting constantly to the thorn in your side, which is your spouse, often as soon as you get married. And that's a good thing. Like you said before, having somebody, you know, you are united now. You are united in the sacrament. You are united in one body. They're going to see things that you never saw when it comes to self-awareness. And that's a beautiful gift. And that's why marriage is so sanctifying. But, you know, as we're entering into it, one of the things that Ricky and I really realized is that for those first few years of our marriage, we were really reactive spouses. He would do something, I reacted. I did something, he would react. And it was just, well, I don't like that. And that's how I feel. And this way, and it would just go back and forth. And we didn't stop and really employ our intellect and our will better. We didn't give them priority. And we gave our passions kind of like this equal playing ground to intellect and will. And that ended up not serving us very well. And so I think, you know, to sum it up, I would just try to remember that our passions, our emotions, our accessories. Like, you wouldn't walk out of the house with earrings and a necklace and be like, I'm totally dressed. This is great. This is the best outfit ever. Like, you got to put on clothes. So the intellect and the will, please just, if you can start working on that, if you can start like allowing yourself a deep pause when you do feel something, it allows that reaction to settle. And then it gives you, your brain and your mind, the power to engage your intellect and your will versus allowing the passions to have first go.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's all the questions that I have. Is there anything else that you want to add? I know you probably meet so many young people who are online dating and trying to figure this thing out. And, you know, as the world changes, it just gets more complicated. So is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Well, I can just add that it's worth it. It's worth it. And I tell you something, you know, I got married at 33. I got married late for what most people would call. I definitely wish I would have married Ricky earlier. Don't get me wrong. It just didn't happen. But I got married at 33. I had my first baby at 34. I just turned 42 and I had my sixth baby. And I love my life. Is it what I planned? No. Is it what I thought it would be? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you something, just be open to being surprised. And I would highly encourage you to go to adoration as much as possible. And then when you begin dating and when you get engaged, start a prayer life now, like at that moment together, where you go to adoration together and you have a set time every week where you go, because God willing, later on in your marriage, and God willing, kids come, there'll be many years, it's very possible, where you're not going to be able to make that same time that you typically had before kids. And so the most that you can do, remember, prayer is eternal. Prayer is eternal. So it's not like you just pray for today and that prayer, you know, tomorrow morning is up. It's done. It's not. You can pray in advance. You can pray for the past. You can pray for past healing. So prayer is eternal. So Ricky and I are so thankful in our first few years of marriage, when we had no kids, and then when we just had one or two, that we still kept up our adoration, our weekly adoration, because now at this stage, we're not able to do it. It's not possible for us. And so I just know that those hours spent in front of the Blessed Sacrament we are receiving graces from that still. And that is just so powerful to know that God is so good that he would allow time to be infinite so that our prayers can work outside of our own constraints.
That's awesome. And I love talking to you and listening to you because you're so realistic. You know, it's like, this is what life is giving you, but God is greater than all of those things. And here is how you work it out. Like, here are some of the things that we can do while we're here, right?
Amen. And listen, anytime you need it, I'd be happy to pop back on and chat with you guys more. It's awesome. My pleasure. I'm here to serve you. I truly am. I love this work. So I'm here for you whenever you need.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Leah. Good luck to you and have a great weekend. I really appreciate it.
If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking with us. This whole project is a labor of love, but we want to hear from y'all. In what ways can you grow in self-awareness? Let us know. Hit us up on social, at Kelp Campus Min, and at Mac Studios UST on Instagram and Facebook. Share this with your friends, family, coworkers, classmates, the person who helps to sharpen you. And a special thanks to Bridget and Leah for this great conversation. You've been listening to Protagonists of Change, a Mac Studios podcast. I'm Darnell Miller. See you soon.